open your Bibles to Proverbs 24 and hold your place there while I pray. I want to welcome those that are watching by Sozo Television. Quiero darle la bienvenida a aquellos que están mirando por la televisión, el de internet, Sozo Television. It's a blessing to have you with us. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord impacted your life during praise and worship. Esperamos que durante la alabanza y adoración, que el servicio de alabanza y adoración te ha impactado grandemente. So we thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we honor you this morning. Lord, what a privilege it is. Señor, qué privilegio es estar en el reino tuyo, to be in your kingdom. Father, we know that everything that you have given us has been freely given to us by you. Señor, sabemos que todo tú lo has dado fue gratuitamente dada por ti, the breath that we breathe, el respiro que tenemos, our family, our friends, las amistades, familia, our jobs, our money, el dinero y también el trabajo. So, Father, keep us focused in all of this. Manténganos enfocados en todo esto. And help us understand your bigger plan for our lives. Y ayúdanos a saber el plan más grande para nuestra vida. And now, Father, we submit to the Holy Spirit. Ahora lo sometemos al Espíritu Santo. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher here this morning. Espíritu Santo, eres el maestro aquí en esta mañana. Speak through me. Habla a través de mí. Fill me that I may pour into your people. Derrama en mí para yo derramar en tu pueblo. And I thank you that the people's hearts that are here and those that are watching by Sozo Television have the hearts ready to receive your word. I thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Y Padre, gracias que el pueblo aquí, aquellos que están mirando por televisión a través del internet, Señor, que su corazón está preparado para recibir tu semilla, tu palabra, Señor, que es poderosa, Señor, y es como una espada. So we thank you, Father, that it will produce fruit in its season, que va a producir fruto en su temporada. And Father, as always, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted for what we're doing here openly and freely. Padre, oramos por nuestros hermanos y hermanas alrededor del mundo que están siendo perseguidos por lo que estamos haciendo aquí gratuitamente y abiertamente, Señor. Father, let them know that we are praying for them. Déjanos saber que estamos orando por ellos. And Father, let them know, Father, that we love them. Déjale saber que lo amamos. And Lord, we ask that you give them strength to persevere to the end. Y pedimos que tú le des fortaleza para perseverar hasta el final. And all of God's people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, say amen. You know, as a pastor, I've had the privilege to counsel many, many people. Yo he tenido el privilegio de aconsejar muchas personas. And people who have been devastated by broken marriages, personas que han sido muy derrotados a través de matrimonios que han fracasado, people who have lost their job, personas que han perdido su trabajo, people who had failed in businesses, personas que han fracasado en negocios, people who have failed in general, personas que han fracasado en general. And sad to say, y lamentablemente, some people don't know how to recover from failure. They don't know how to recover from bad news. Hay personas que no pueden recuperar a través de mala noticia, recuperar de fracasos. And I think it's because we are never taught on how to pick ourselves back up when we fall down. Porque realmente no hemos sido enseñados cómo levantarnos cuando lo caemos. See, we always talk about staying on top, right? We always talk about success. Siempre hablamos de éxito, cómo mantenernos arriba. You got to success, you got to succeed, you got to do good, and everything else. But what happens when you don't? Right? What happens when you try your best? You know, as that song, I did my best, but my best, I guess my best wasn't good enough. Or some of you know it. Some of you young people saying, what's that? Those are the oldies but the goodies, right? But what happens? ¿Qué pasa cuando tú has tratado tu mejor y nada pasa y fracasado? What happens? What do you do then? What happens when you find out that somebody in your family that you love dearly died? How do you recover from that loss? ¿Qué pasa cuando una persona en tu vida que tú amas tanto se muere? ¿Cómo tú recuperas de esa perdida? What happens when you fought and fought and fought for your house and you lost your house? ¿Qué pasa que cuando tú peleaste para tu casa, para mantenerla y perdiste tu casa? Are you what I'm saying? How do we deal with that? And I think in the word of faith circles and even in Christianity in general, especially in this, we always talk about the success side of things. Amen. Siempre en la palabra de fe, el movimiento de palabra de fe y eso, siempre hablamos del el lado de éxito, no el lado de fracaso. We never talk about failure. In fact, I remember my pastor telling me, when it comes even to suffering, we don't want to talk about suffering in the church. No queremos hablar de sufrimiento. In fact, my pastor told me one time, mi pastor dijo una vez, he went to preach at a church. Él fue a predicar una iglesia. And he talked about suffering with Christ. And that sometimes sufferings come. But suffering is a good thing sometimes. Come on, somebody. Algunas veces sufrimiento viene, pero el sufrimiento es bueno. It does. I don't understand everything about suffering. Yo no entiendo mucho de todo el aspecto de sufrimiento, but I know that suffering does something. I've experienced that in my life. And it's made me a better person. Y me ha hecho una persona mejor. Are you what I'm saying? So here's the deal. My pastor went to preach at this church. After he taught, and people came and people wept, his people, the pastor's people, you know, the visiting, you know, the local pastor that was there, after ministry, my pastor preached the gospel on suffering, the sufrimiento. People came up weeping, crying, wanting to get healed from God and things like that. The pastor sat my pastor on the side and said, I don't ever want you ever to come to my church and teach on suffering. And my pastor said, really? He said, well, the Bible just clearly said that the Bible talks about suffering. He goes, no, we don't teach suffering here. You see, and we have this mindset, y tenemos esta mentalidad, that, you know, it's always to excel, which is excellent, and I'm going to show you some things later on, which is awesome, you shoot for it, you go for it, but how do you handle sometimes when we don't make it? Amen? Because we're always on the other side, porque siempre estamos en el otro lado. There was an author that put it nicely, he said, tough times never last, but tough people do. Isn't that right? Tough times never last, but tough people do. Because I know for a fact, y déjame decirlo en español, que tiempos difíciles nunca duran, pero personas fuertes sí. And I know that many of us have gone through some tough times. Can I get an amen, somebody? Muchos de nosotros hemos pasado por tiempos difíciles. But here's the wonderful news, we're still standing. Todavía estamos parados. That says something about you. That says something about your character. Eso dice algo de tu carácter. Martin Luther King said something important. He said, a man's character is tested in times of adversity. El carácter del hombre es probado en tiempos de adversidad. How do you know how tough a person is until he is tested? Amen? And there's nothing more like a teacher than failure. Failure can teach you some things. Come on, somebody. El fracaso te puede enseñar. And we have to understand that. Y tenemos que entender eso. So I want us to put up there Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Notice what the Bible says. Nota lo que dice la Biblia. Proverbs 24:16. Proverbios capítulo 24, versículo 16. And I want it up there in the Amplified Version. It says, for a righteous man, what? Isn't that interesting? See, we don't want to talk about that. Now, a righteous man is not just any man. Because when we talk about righteousness in the Bible, we talk about a righteous man indicates a person that is right standing with God. A person that is doing right and being right, right? Una persona que está haciendo que justa, que está parado bien con el Señor, un hombre justo. So it's talking about somebody that understands their relationship with God. Una persona que entiende su relación con Dios. A righteous man. A person that does right and is in right standing with God. Una persona que está bien y está. But notice this. It says, a righteous man falleth seven times and rises up again. But the wicked are overthrown by calamity. Notice a righteous man that is in a right position with God, that is trying to do the right things, sometimes fall. But here's the key. He doesn't stay down. And the reason why a righteous man cannot stay down, especially if they understand their relationship with God, is because they have to understand that God is the glory and the lifter of our heads. That it is God who lifts us up when we fall down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Que es Dios que cuando nosotros caemos, es Dios que es la gloria y que levanta nuestra cabeza. Es Dios que nos levanta. See, a person that doesn't understand this relationship will stay down and have a pity party. Una persona que no entiende su relación con Dios se cae y tiene una fiesta de ay benditos. Right? Ay bendito, me caí. Oh, how bad, oh God, I fell. It's like that old commercial. I've fallen and I can't get up. Right? Hay un comercial de un anciano que se cayó y dice, me caí y no me puedo levantar. But when you have a relationship with God, you have to understand that there's something, someone greater that is there on your side. Pero cuando tú te caes, tú tienes que entender que hay alguien ahí más fuerte, alguien que es un Dios grande que te levanta. And that's the person you trust. You can't trust your own self. Right? And you've said it, I can't even trust myself. And so because we don't trust ourselves, we don't trust other people, we think we can't trust God. Y porque no lo confiamos nosotros mismos y no confiamos otra persona, creemos que no podemos confiar en el Señor. And we can trust God. God is the most faithful person you'll ever meet in your entire life. God will not break your heart. He will restore your heart. Dios no quebranta tu corazón, Él te lo restaura. Are you what I'm saying, family of God? He wants the best for you when you want the worst for yourself. Él quiere lo mejor para ti cuando tú quieres lo peor para ti. He knows what is best for us. Remember that old show, Father Knows Best? Okay, about three people who was born in the early 60s, all right? Father Knows Best. Hay un programa muchos años atrás, Black and White TV, guys. Remember those? Somebody said no. But Black and White TV, cuando tenían la televisor blanco y negro, había un programa, se llama Padre Sabe Lo Mejor. Father Knows Best. And He knows best for us, family. And He does. And notice what the Bible says also, before I get real into what I'm about to speak to, Hebrews chapter 4. Because here's the deal. Esta es la cosa. You and I relate to people that have gone through similar things than we have, right? Tú y yo bregamos o relacionamos con personas que realmente ha pasado porque la cosa que nosotros pasamos. For example, I can't relate to when people are struggling with temptations in certain areas. I don't understand. That doesn't tempt me. But it's tempting you. Cosa que te tenta a ti no me tenta a mí. I can't relate with you in that specific temptation, but I can understand in the overall temptation, right? Yo específicamente no puedo relacionar contigo en una tentación específica. For example, some of you are tempted by chocolate. Doesn't move me. Amen? Chocolate no me mueve a mí. Some of you are tempted by other things, drugs female, male, whatever it is. Otra cosa que te intentan a ti, it may not tempt nobody else. But overall, we understand what temptation is. Because we're all tempted in something. Right? Entendemos, but not that specific thing. And so what happens is that because we as people, porque nosotros como personas, sometimes, let's say for example, when my son passed away, cuando mi hijo se falleció, I love when people said to me, you know, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what it is to feel a loss of a son. Are you what I'm saying? Rather than people say, oh, I know what you're going through. I lost my uncle. Losing an uncle and losing a son is two different things. Come on, somebody. Although I'm sure you love your uncle didn't come from your loins. Are you what I'm saying? And so, although we can relate to the death part of this thing, okay, podemos relacionar a través de la perdida, but the loss of a son versus an uncle, two different things. Truly, it is. Are you what I'm saying? So when people say, I can relate with you because, you know, I lost a loved one too, my uncle, and, you know, my cousin died, and totally different. But people that understood and said, you know, I don't know what you're going through, but here's what I do know. I know a God that can restore you. Come on, somebody. Yo no entiendo, you know, y no puedo empatizar con lo que he pasado, pero sí sé que hay un Dios que te puede restaurar y sanar. And so, but here's the deal. Here's what the Bible says, and let's put it up there in the Amplified Version, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14. We'll start there. Here's the deal. And this is where we can trust God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession of faith. Meaning, let us hold fast to that. That we have an understanding, que nosotros tenemos entendiendo, that he has passed through the heavens. All right? And that is our Lord, God, Jesus Christ. Verse 15, verso 15. For we do not have a high priest, watch this, who is unable to understand and sympathize and have shared our feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has seen, who has been tempted in every respect as we are. I want you to hold there because we don't think about that. Jesus was a man, 100% man, and he was 100% God. And that's difficult, I understand, for many to understand. Y yo sé que eso mucho, es muy difícil para mucho entender que él fue 100% hombre y 100% Dios. But as a human being, he was tempted in every respect. Él fue tentado. Now, understand this. His temptation is different than our temptation. In a sense that he understood another side, the deity side. Él entendió el otro lado de deidad. For example, Jesus could have been tempted to say no, as in the Garden of Eden. Excuse me, in the Garden of Gethsemane. En el jardín de Gethsemane. Remember that? Lord, is there another way that this path? That was a temptation for him because he could have easily said no. Él podía decir que no. Not to take the cross and not to go with it, but he fought that. We know that in the wilderness he was also tempted of the devil. Sabemos que en el desierto él también fue tentado por el enemigo. But here's the Bible says that he was tempted in every respect. I don't know. Think about your temptations. Now maybe back then they didn't have drugs, alcohol, or smoking and things like that. But I'm sure they had other things. Who knows? Are you what I'm saying? But the Bible says that we don't have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feelings with our weaknesses and our infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptations. Notice, I love the verbiage here. Me encanta el verbaje. It says that temptations are like assaults. They keep coming. Vienen como asalto. They keep coming. They keep coming. Asaltos. Así es. Viene y sigue y sigue. And temptation is designed to bring you down. Tentación es designado para hacerte caer. They're designed by the enemy to make you to fall. Here the problem is that we keep going and falling into the same temptations rather than learning. En vez de aprender esa tentación, seguimos cayéndonos y seguimos cayéndonos. And here's where we have a bunch of people coming to church feeling so bad for themselves. Feeling broken constantly rather than learning from those mistakes, learning from those temptations. En vez de aprender de esa tentación, en vez de aprender de esos fracasos, right? Notice this, who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. All right? Verse 16. And I know that you and I have been tempted in areas and we have sinned. Okay. I have been tempted in areas and I have sinned. I know you may have not. Maybe you can fulfill the last part, but I have not. All right? I've been tempted in certain areas and I've sinned. Okay, I said I have been tempted in areas and I have sinned. Thank you, because I think everyone has. Todos nosotros hemos sido tentados en algo y hemos pecado. We just messed up. Have you ever messed up? We made mistakes. Hemos hecho errores. Are you what I'm saying? But here's Jesus saying, hey, I can relate to you. I can understand these things. Now, I didn't sin like you did, but I can relate. I was tempted by this thing. Let us then fearlessly, confidently, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. And here's the problem I was talking about. Este es el problema, that because we give into the same temptation and continue to fall, we think that God doesn't love us anymore. Y creemos que Dios no nos ama más nada. And so we sometimes don't want to come to church. I said, I messed up, Toby. I don't even want to go to church. But when family, this is when we have to fearlessly and confidently, boldly draw near to the throne of grace. Y ahí donde nosotros tenemos que, dice, sin temor, confiadamente, con de nuevo, tenemos que acercarnos al trono de gracia. Because staying home, quedándote en tu casa, telling somebody else about how bad you are and how messed up you are, they can't do anything for you. As much as they love you, mientras ellos te aman, ellos no pueden hacer nada para ti. They can't. They can join you in your pity party. They can say, oh no, that's okay. Está bien. You know, I've done the same thing. And they can make you feel good, but it doesn't resolve your condition. Te hacen sentir bien, pero ellos no resuelven y ni tienen el poder de resolver tu condición, which is restoration from your sin. ¿Qué restauración de tu pecado? You hear what I'm saying, family? Does it make sense to anybody? So we have to learn, tenemos que aprender, that when we mess up the most royally, that's when we have to come to the throne of grace. Tenemos que venir al trono de gracia. And you don't have to wait to come to church. You can do it in your home. You can do it wherever. You can do it in a toilet. Come on, somebody. Why are you on the throne? Gotta make you wake up somehow. Amen. You can do it right there. Let that be a reminder to come before the throne. Whatever. Whatever works. Lo que trabaje. Are you what I'm saying, family? But when we mess up the most, that's when we have to fearlessly, confident, and come boldly near the throne. The throne of God's unmerited favor. To who? To us sinners. That we messed up. That we, and so, hey, wait a minute, let me just define that, because sometimes we think that sinning is fornicating, adultery, doing drugs and everything else. But let me tell you something. If you're acting in pride, you're sinning. If you are a controlling person, the Bible says you're sinning, because a controlling person is as the sin of witchcraft. That's what the Bible says. To him that knoweth to do right, to him it is sin. God asks you to go minister to somebody, you don't do it, you just sin. You disobey. Disobedience is sin. Are you what I'm saying? So I need to for you to understand that God doesn't look like big sin, little sin. Sin is sin. It's spelled the same no matter what you do. Come on, somebody, right? It's spelled the same no matter what you do. Doesn't matter. Sin is sin. Pecado es pecado. And so sometimes you say, well, you know, I messed up. You know what? I just did X, Y, and Z. Here's what Jesus said. Watch this. Remember the little old lady that came to the Lord, and the Pharisees that was praying, and you know, came to the temple, vino al templo, and he was going to pray, and he heard this man and said, "Lord, you know, help me, a sinner." Then here comes the Pharisee and say, "You know, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. You know, I'm glad I'm not like that guy." And that's what we do in church. Es lo que hacemos en la iglesia. Well, you know what? I know my I've done some stuff, but not like Jermaine. Now we have to deal with the issue. Nosotros tenemos que bregar con la cosa. And the Bible said we have to judge sin. Tenemos que juzgar el pecado. But here's what I've learned. I'd rather judge myself lest the Lord judge me. Here's what the Bible says. I'd rather throw myself on the rock than the rock fall on me. Prefiero caer en la piedra que la piedra caiga sobre mí. And so we have to understand that when we mess up, we just say, Lord, forgive. 1 John 1:9 is a scripture you guys need to know. Not to play with and take it for granted, but to know and to do. Amen. Primero uno Juan es una escritura que debemos saber, no jugar con ella, cogerlo de hecho, pero cogerla en serio y hacerla. That if we confess our sins, he is just. He is righteous. He is good to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you what I'm saying? 1 John 1:9 is scripture you should have in your heart already. And so let's put it up again, verse 16. It says that we may receive mercy. You're not going to receive mercy if you don't come to the mercy seat. No va a recibir misericordia si no viene al asiento de misericordia. That we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. How many times have we messed up and ran away from God and falling into a deeper ditch? ¿Cuántas veces hemos corrido de Dios y hemos caído en un hueco más profundo? Rather than to come to help, receive that mercy, recibir esa misericordia, and then every time we need it, as we stay in that position, we'll get it anytime we want it. In the time that we need it, we'll get it. Simple. Bien simple. But it's hard for us to do. Because here's the deal. Many of us are afraid. Many of us are, I'm not afraid. Yes, you are. We fear a lot of things. We fear not succeeding. You hear what I'm saying? Tememos no tener gran éxito. We have to succeed, because if we don't succeed, that means we're a failure, and I don't want to fail. And so we fear failures. Y tememos fracaso. And fear is something that'll paralyze you, family. I know that well. Fear is something that'll paralyze you. There's been times in my life that I've been so fearful that it paralyzed me. And I didn't know what to do. Y no sabía qué hacer. Listen, for instance, I don't like heights. That's why God made me 5 foot and some change. Probably if I'm as tall as Don, I'd probably get a nosebleed. Who knows? But he made me 5 foot and some change. Are you what I'm saying? And so when I climb up a ladder, I can only climb but so high. Before all of a sudden, my legs start wobbling like this. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't like this. He said, no, just hold on. No, I don't like this. You know? And that's what we do. And instead of, listen, understanding what fear is and different types of fear. How many know that some fear is good? Some fear is good. So how's that? Well, the Bible said, flee or be afraid of evil, the appearance of it. Get away from it. Fear that. Fear evil. Get away from that. It's a good type of fear. For example, if we teach our kids to be afraid of fire, not to play with fire. You see what I'm saying? Stay away from it. It's a decent kind of fear. It's not bad. But there's other fears that are not biblical. Fear that comes from the enemy. Fear that says you can't make it. That's the wrong aspect of fear. How many know anger can be good? Not all anger is bad. But the Bible says be angry, but sin not. How many know Jesus got angry? Jesus went into the temple and started throwing stuff around. Like some of you crazy women do when you're upset with your husband. You start throwing stuff around and pah! But the only thing is that you failed to say, my house should be a house of prayer. You know what I'm saying? And so what happens is that, family. So we have to understand and keep a balance of these things and not stay like this. And so therefore, that's what we do with fear of failure. And it has paralyzed many people. And what we do is sometimes covered up. We fake the funk to make it simple. And so we consciously or subconsciously ignore our sins and failures because to admit them is to admit failure. And sometimes that's even worse than death. I don't want to admit I'm wrong. I don't want to admit I failed. I don't want to admit I sinned. But family, unless you admit that you're a sinner, and unless you admit these things, you'll never be able to boldly come before the throne of grace to receive the mercy that he has for you. It starts first by admitting it and understanding your position. Does that make sense to you? See, people often, even in our jobs, we often refuse to tackle a job or take on responsibility because we're afraid to fail. It happens in ministry. I don't want to do that, Pastor, because I don't know if I can, you know. Does that ring a bell? And I only point to Jermaine because that happened recently. We went to a pastor's appreciation luncheon, and Star 99 sponsored it. And all of a sudden, they call for can somebody come up here and play? And he was like, I don't know if he was doing the, electric slide and, to the left, to the left. I don't know. But I said, Jermaine, go up there. He goes, go up there, Jermaine. Right, Jermaine? And then finally, someone else came up and played. And it got to a point that they started singing a song that she did not know, but Jermaine does. You could use all 88 keys of that thing. Are you what I'm saying? So sometimes fears, because I know he wasn't going to fail, but he probably thought that it was the wrong timing, whatever, and I'm going to tell you about timing and failure. It's very important. So they think failure means that you're a bad person and that you are a failure. I want you to know that failure isn't final. Failure is an event, it's not a person. Listen to me. Failure is an event, not a person. El fracaso es un evento, no una persona. Just because you and I fail sometimes does not mean that we are a failure. Are you what I'm saying? Solamente porque nosotros fracasamos algunas veces no quiere decir que nosotros somos un fracaso. It just means we just failed at one thing. If you look and study all the sciences, and we'll probably mention some of them, Alexander Graham Bell, you look at Thomas Edison, you look at all these great men that did something for this country that we are experiencing right now, like light and electricity, they have failed more than they succeeded. Because you know what it is? It takes one time to succeed. You can have many failures, but it takes one time to succeed. Listen, failure, I'm just showing you some things. Failure is something you pass by on your way to success. Can you dig what I'm saying? Do you feel me? All right. Failure is something you pass by on your way to success. And you may fail a lot of times, but you keep success right in front of you, man. And understand that failure sometimes is a season in your life, but you got to stay focused on success and move on towards that direction. Are you hearing what I said? Paul said, I keep my eye on the prize. Isn't that right? Pablo dijo, yo mantengo mi ojo en el premio. He says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Paul wasn't dealing in his past. He's dealing in his present and future. Are you what I'm saying? If I were to go around, si yo fuera por aquí, and I would say, hey, you know what? How many times you fail in life? He said, well, I can't even count how many times I messed up, man. How many times I failed? I can't even count it. Are you what I'm saying? Si yo voy a través de la iglesia y digo, ¿cuántas veces tú has fracasado? Muchas de ustedes, chacho, no tengo ni el tiempo para contarte. I don't even have the time to show you. But here's the fact of the matter is, we just read in Hebrews that Jesus said that he can sympathize. Se puede simpatizar con nosotros. He's a high priest that can relate. You know? I said that word, you feel me, and be honest with you, that's what Jesus said. He walked around, everything else, he taught you, you feel me? I know what I've gone through what you've gone through. Yo he pasado por lo que tú has pasado. And it's wonderful because even when you doubt, he still says, do you feel me? How many times have you read the doubter? Thomas, I won't believe it until I see it. And Jesus came and said, you feel me? He can relate. He can relate with your doubts. He can relate with your fears. He can relate with a lot of stuff that we think he doesn't relate to because we don't see him. But he is present with us. Él está presente. Does that make sense to you? I'm just going to help you with some things because we deal with these things, but we never talk about it. Not too many pastors want to talk about failures. Not too many pastors want to talk about suffering. Not too many of them want to do that. But unless we learn how to deal with those failures, because when we fail sometimes in life, cuando nosotros fracasamos en vida, here's what happens. We get so down on ourselves, don't we? We beat ourselves up so much because we messed up. Well, if I'm saved, how can I mess up? You know, somebody told me that when I come to Jesus, I wasn't going to mess up no more. Somebody lied to you. You hear what I'm saying? Because here's the truth of the matter is that we come to Christ broken up, messed up. And so he takes us as the great potter that he is, el buen alfarero que es, and we're the clay, and he takes us and he molds us. Y lo moldea a nosotros. And in that, as we surrender to him, mientras nosotros rendimos a él, he removes things from us. Él remueve cosas de nosotros. And we have to trust God that he knows better for us and let them go. Sometimes relationships. Sometimes jobs. Sometimes, certain people around us that should not be with us. Because not everybody is willing to go with you on this journey. So sometimes you just got to leave people behind. And God is molding you and making you. It's a process called sanctification. Es un proceso llamado santificación that he works in you, but you're going to have to let yourself be worked on. When you go to a doctor for surgery, cuando tú vas a un doctor para cirugía, to operate on you or whatever, when was the last time that you were on that bed and he was about to start? I said, no, never mind. No, I don't want you to go do this thing. And he said, no, this is good for you. I need to work on you. No, I want to be healed. I want this to get away from me, but I don't want you to touch me. But that's what we do with God. I want to get better, but I don't want you to mess up my life. I don't want you to disrupt my life, and Jesus will disrupt your life. Are you hear what I'm saying? Él va a torcer tu vida. In fact, he said, if you love brother, sister, mother, father, whatever it is, more than me, you're not even worthy of me. So when he comes into your life and you said, I surrender, Jesus, a lot of people are going to come against you. And he's going to mess up your little world that you think that you have put together, when in fact you didn't put together. The devil was manipulating you and you were his puppet. And you thought it was your own little world. Ah, it's a nice world. I ain't got no word. In fact, when you come to Christ, the devil will mess up with you. He'll mess with you as well. And he'll mess with you, and he'll bring all kinds of stuff against you, false accusations, temptations, people. You lose your job, lose your house, lose your hair, lose your wig, whatever. False teeth, false everything comes off. But it's good. He comes to restore you. Because some of us come with false pretenses to God, and he makes us into truthful people. Does that make sense? That's the way it works, family. Listen, let me give you this, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more. I didn't even scratch the surface. Because I'm going to tell you the wrong way to handle failure. Because failure can happen. You will feel like a failure from time to time. How do you handle this thing? Great leaders in scriptures at some times have experienced some sort of failure. Hombres grandes en la escritura han pasado y ha experimentado, tú sabes, diferentes tipos de fracaso. You look at Abraham, right? Great man of faith. How many know that he lied? He lied. He was a liar. He did. He was afraid a couple of times that the king would take his life if he said that he had his wife, Sarah. So you know what he said? He goes, oh, she ain't my wife. She's my cousin. She's my cousin. And so sure enough, when the king took her, was going to lay with her, God spoke to her, you better not touch this woman. She's married to Abraham, and he's called of me. Amazing. Preserved them. Now, that does not give you a license, my friend, to go lie. Because liars are friars. So you better be careful. But understand this, that even when there was he went to Egypt, instead of staying put, he went to Egypt when there was a drought. He messed up. How many know that Moses messed up too? If you want to learn anything from Moses, be careful. Because Moses is a prime example of trying to fulfill a calling before its time. And Moses killed a man and tried to be the savior of the people before his time and killed an Egyptian. And then all of a sudden he had to flee his life. But it's interesting what God does. He says he works all things for our good. Somehow, some way, he fixes that. God fixes us, man. He sets us up for good stuff, man. He does, man. He fixed a lot of my messes. He did. But I don't take it for granted. And I don't keep messing up so he can keep messing up, you know, fixing my messes. I don't do that. I just thank him, man. I just thank him. How many ever have gotten a ticket? Somehow or another. Isn't that amazing how God just helps us out in that ticket too? He does bail us out when we have the right attitude. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes we get a ticket and I say, man, $150. That's a lot of money. But he bails us out somehow, some way. I remember getting a ticket, truth. I remember getting a ticket. And when I got a ticket, I went into the court that day because I didn't think I should have gotten it, but I got it. And I went in there, and as I walked into the courtroom, here comes somebody I knew who's a state trooper who was real close to the prosecutor. And he explained everything, and I didn't have to pay. I didn't have to pay $150. I was like, praise God for that. I said, Lord, you bail me out of this thing. And he does stuff like that. Here's another one. Peter. How many know? Remember Peter? Big, bold Peter. I am. Jesus, I don't care. Nobody else leave you. I ain't leaving you. I always watch for people like, Pastor, I love you. And I don't care if anybody leave you. I'm going to be right here. When everything's set, when the dust settles, I'll be right here with you. And I said, man, I ain't going to see you too long. But I'll use you while you're here. But I ain't going to see you too long. So I'm always watchful with people like that. I'm always watchful. So Peter said, I'm never going to leave you and everything else. And how many know that he denied Jesus 3 times, right? How about David? I mean, you can look it up on scriptures. I have them here, but for me to go over it, that's your homework. David, how about David? King David. Man of God, man after God's own heart, the Bible says. What did he do? Wrote the book of Psalms, several Psalms, and anointed, played, had the gifting and anointing of God. You know what he did? He committed adultery. Not only that, he killed somebody. He had somebody killed. He had a contract on somebody. Remember that? Bathsheba's husband? Instead of him being out in the field fighting, taking care of God's business, he decided to stay back. And one day as he was kind of strolling and, looking at the air and breathing, all of a sudden he saw a cutie pie taking a bath. And he stayed there a little too long. And he got tempted. He said, who's that cutie pie? I want her. Doesn't matter if he had like 150 of them. You know what I'm saying? He had a lot of wives. It didn't matter that. I just want that cutie pie. It's something about people that just want more and more and more and not satisfied. That's a whole different sermon. And he wanted that cutie pie. That's why I told men, watch what you watch. Be careful what you look at. Watch your eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Because the eyes are the windows to the soul. He said, if the man's eye is what? Dark. So is his spirit. You ever read that? If a man's eyes are dark, so is his spirit. So watch what you watch. Anyway, that's another sermon. Some of you can preach it some other time. So here's the deal. He's watched. He stayed there too long. And then he says, I want that cutie pie. Somebody said, no, she has a husband. In fact, he's one of your main men. He's one of your warriors in your army. He said, really, what's his name? He goes, All right, then do me a favor. Put him in the front lines. Not only put him in the, you ever seen VeggieTales? I love the account of VeggieTales. He said, put him in the front lines. Put him in the front lines. Not only put him in the front lines, but make sure that you, when it's time to kind of attack, tell your men to stay behind. So he can kill him. So he can get killed. Are you what I'm saying? And the reason he did that is to try to cover up his sin. Because he had already had relationship with his, with her husband, Bathsheba's husband, and his wife, thank you. And she was pregnant. She got pregnant. So when he came back from the war, the front lines, he goes, go sleep with your husband. And pretend that that's his baby, not mine. Big David. Killed giants, lions, and bears. Oh, my. In the Bible, you read in the New Testament, he said he was a man after my own heart. That's just the way God does. You have to understand that failure isn't final in your lives. Failure isn't final. Brothers and sisters, it's all right to sometimes fail. But let failure be a teacher. Learn from these mistakes. Learn from these failures. Because it happens to the best of men. Here's what Ernest Hemingway said. Let me give you a couple of quotes. Would you wait 5 more minutes for me? Thank you. How many would give me 5? 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I got a whole nother sermon right here, baby. All right, buckle up. Ernest Hemingway said, a man is not made for defeat. And it's interesting. He said, a man is not made for defeat. A man can be destroyed, but not defeated. A man can be destroyed, but not defeated. What does that mean? That means they can destroy your character. They can try to destroy your fame. They can destroy your house. They can destroy your car. That doesn't mean you're defeated. It happens to the best of men. These great inventors, they laughed at them. They scoffed at them. They thought they were crazy. They destroyed stuff that belonged to them. They set them up and everything else. But they understood. I said, I'm not defeated. You can destroy stuff around me. That doesn't mean you can defeat me. Are you hear what I'm saying? I preached that sermon in a prison many, many years ago to show the prisoners, just because you're in here, doesn't mean you're defeated. Especially if you're in Christ Jesus. In short, you fail, you're not a failure. Zig Ziglar said this. Remember, again, failure is not an event, not a person. And sometimes we feel that way, especially if we've given all that we had, all our efforts and everything else like that. And it can happen in a relationship, marriage, education, job, whatever it is. And we can try our hardest, but sometimes we come up short. But that doesn't mean you're a failure. Why is it that marriages end early? Because they feel they can't succeed. I messed up. I keep messing up. You know what? Forget it. Let's just break up. Instead of working through that hard time. Instead of dealing with these issues. Instead of pressing in there. You know what the excuse is? Well, I'm falling out of love. No, you're afraid and you're running. That's your problem. Instead of being a man or a woman of God and staying right there and fight. And fight. Amen. Come on, let's stand up. I got a whole bunch more to say. But I'm going to show you next week some of the causes why you may fail. Why you may fail. And not only that, some of the reasons for failure. And I'll tell you real quickly, some of it is timing. Your timing can be off, preparation. Advice you're getting from people, some of the people you're hanging out with, and things like that. These are some of the reasons you fail. I'm going to expound on these things because it's very important. And we're going over the same thing over and over and over again instead of understanding that unless we submit to God, that unless we submit to God and say, God, work in my life, yeah, I may mess up, but I know that you're the glory and the lift of my head. You're going to lift me back up. And I know you're not counting how many times I fall. You're counting how many times I get back up. And that's the difference. That's why David was so successful. He knew he messed up. He knew. And the prophet of God came to him and told him his mess and everything else like that. You know? And that's a great account to understand what sin is. Because sometimes, you know what we do? Not only do we cover it, we justify our sin. And he tried to justify his sin. And Prophet Naaman came and said, hey, listen, you stole. He said, let me give you a proverb or a parable and began to talk to him. I said, hey, listen, what if a man had a whole bunch of sheep and one person had one sheep? And this man who had a whole bunch of sheep took one sheep. What do you think of that man? Who's that man? I'll go kill him. I'll destroy that man. How dare he do that? That's unjust. And then the prophet said, you're that man. He says, you're that man. And he repented and everything else like that. Are you what I'm saying? The key is, family, that when we mess up and we fail and sometimes we feel like that, is to ask God to forgive us. He's a great God. Don't take advantage of that goodness, family. Don't take advantage of or take it for granted. It's a blessing. It's a gift. It's a gift. appreciate it, embrace it, but don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. None of us in this place like to be taken for granted. Can I get an amen? None of us. In fact, we get upset and we say, oh, you're just taking me for granted. Well, how about God? Let's not take for granted his goodness. He extends to us out of his goodness and kindness. Let's not take it for granted and just say, Lord, forgive me. And help me and give me the strength not to do that again. Are you what I'm saying? And that's why David was able to be successful and get out of a mess that he was in and be able to get into a place where God says he's a man after God's own heart. Are you what I'm saying? And that's what it's all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you and honor you today.